Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
For some, Christmas is traveling to grandmother's house, whether over the river and through the woods, or over the country and through the crowded airport. For others, Christmas is finding the perfect gift and giving it, and seeing the smile of surprise and delight that gift provokes. And then there are those for whom Christmas means running through the freezing streets of a northern city in a bathing suit. Only a Game's Doug Trabu has the story of some of those people.
It's a Saturday in mid-December. The skies over downtown Boston are clear, and the temperature is about 27 degrees. Boston resident Megan Coffey and Elizabeth Barry of Bedford, Massachusetts, have their running shoes on, and they have some advice on staying warm.
Jumping up and down.
Keep moving.
Doing jumping jacks, doing whatever it takes.
27 degrees isn't that extreme for dedicated runners, but Coffey and Barry are wearing only bikinis. They're two of more than 500 people stripping down for the 9th annual Santa Speedo Run, a mile and a quarter jog in which runners are encouraged to wear bathing suits and accessorize with holiday flair. Runners are registering inside Lear, a three-story bar on Boylston Street in the Back Bay, one of Boston's most popular shopping districts. John Iannelli is the run's co-founder and organizer. He says the idea was born when he and four friends were trying to come up with a practical joke.
We picked a weekend, we did it. We tried to recruit a whole bunch of people, and it was still just the five of us because everyone else was afraid. And so we ran down the street wearing Santa hats, Speedos, and carried a jukebox with a CD of the Muppets singing Christmas carols.
The stunt got a lot of reaction, and the men decided to turn it into a charitable event. The following year, they were up to 30 runners and raised about $2,000.
The fourth year I was in grad school, I had a little extra free time on my hands, and decided to just put some more structure to it, an organization, built a website, put some minimums on what people needed to raise in order to participate.
The event has snowballed since then, and in 2007 raised $90,000.
Come on, let's go.
Today's start time is 2 hours away, but many runners are down to their swimsuits already and downing some liquid courage. Most runners get creative with their outfits. Judy Jakes of Newton, Massachusetts, describes hers.
A little Santa outfit with a lot of marabou around the edges, a red and black feather boa, a leopard print Santa hat, and a bell.
There's also a man covered in green paint with garlands and lights wrapped around his torso doing his best Christmas tree impersonation. Several women dressed as does have brown knit hats with ears and matching miniskirts with cotton tails. Kyle and Lana Grady of Somerville, Massachusetts, met at the 2005 race and were married this May. Kyle was wearing only a Speedo, sneakers, and a Santa hat when he introduced himself to his future wife.
You know, because you're dressed so scantily, you kind of see what you're getting involved in.
All of your questions are sort of answered up front. Is that the idea?
Bingo.
You can really find the love of your life at the Santa Speedo Run.
As the start time approaches, runners pour out into the street, and there's a lot of laughing, shivering, and calisthenics. When the run begins, hundreds of friends and family members line the sidewalks along the course. Organizer John Iannelli serves as the pace runner behind a police escort. It's not a race, and Iannelli stops the pack several times to do push-ups and put on a show while slower runners catch up. He says it's hard to keep the more eager exhibitionists from sprinting ahead.
The conflict there is that it's 27 degrees outside right now, and it's pretty cold, and it's a mile, and so even though it's a lot of people run outside in the winter when you're only wearing a Speedo, there's the urge to want to go faster, so it's a challenge to, keep people under control that way.
The run ends where it began, and the party continues. One of the oldest runners is Leon Warner, and he's also traveled further than most. His home state, Nevada, and his age, 69, are painted across his stomach in blue. Warner ran last year and says he couldn't wait to come back.
Oh, I love it. I think this is the greatest thing that ever happened. I give to charities back home. My son lives here, and he wants me to come and run with him. So I give to his charities and the things that he wants to do.
Every year, John Iannelli chooses one local children's charity small enough to benefit significantly from the fundraiser. Today's recipient is Cradles to Crayons, which distributes new and used goods to children in need. Chris Bentman manages corporate relations for Cradles to Crayons.
It only costs us about $25 to outfit one child with a package of clothes, books, toys, and everything that child needs to get through a cold Northeast winter. So with the money that we'll raise here today, it's simple math. For every $25 that we raise, that's one more child that we can help.
The next day, Iannelli reports online donations and runners' collections will be more than $175,000, nearly double last year's total. And that means a bunch of people running around in their bathing suits in December will help about 7,000 children. And was the Santa Speedo Run everything first-time runners Elizabeth Berry and Megan Coffey expected it to be?
Oh my gosh.
Way more.
Way better.
Yeah,
way.
It ended up actually being not as cold as I thought it was going to be.
No, everybody's in the spirit. It's just such a great
it's
time.
It's for a good cause, yes. So it's really well worth it.
For Only a Game, I'm Doug Tribune.
Doug Tribune's story of the Santa Speedo Run will be featured on this week's show. Helene Elliott will join me for some good hockey talk, and I'll have a story about the rejuvenated Boston Bruins, who are reminding their fans of the glory days of Bobby Orr. We'll examine the demise of the Arena Football League, and I'll also be talking to Charlie Rosen, who has written a book about the first season of the Pro Basketball League that eventually became the NBA. Talk about your great oaks from Little Acorns. So join us, and remember, you can always hear the program at onlyagame.org.